maybe we'll start with something of the parsha, and then we'll move on to picking up this piece of the Gemara, and that will bring us, Ezras Hashem, on Sunday to the Toldos of Shame. Toldos of Shame. On our ever-present quest of trying to solve Rav Papa's mystery of which Toldos are not Kayotzei Ban, which again, if we sort of remember, overarching, that's what we're trying to get to. Okay, so Hashem tells Noah that there's going to be a flood that's coming. You and your family are going to be saved. You should build for yourselves the teva. Take the animals, put them inside, and you'll stay there for the duration of the flood. And he tells them, you should take for you from all of the food that you need in order that you should survive in the teva. Why does Hashem have to command Noah to take the food into the teva? He just told Noah that everything is being destroyed. He told Noah that you're going to be on this boat for quite a amount of time. You're going to have all these animals with you. Not just one, but two of each one. And Noah wasn't going to bring any food? What exactly was Noah hoping that was going to happen? That if he was just going to be on there, would he kill some animals for food? The whole purpose of bringing the animals was for the continuation of the animals. That's presumably why there were two. Why did Hashem borrow to tell him to bring the food? Yeah.
Maybe he assumed that Hashem was going to save him, that he was also going to provide for him.
Maybe, but he didn't, again, Hashem didn't say, sit back, relax, and I'm taking care of everything. He said, build a teva. Not easy work. You're going to take care of the animals. There's a lot to do. So the Kli Yakar says, at the pasuk which says, V'atah kach lecha mikol ma'achol, you should take from all the food, the chiddush and the focus of the pasuk is not on the taking of the food. It's on the kach lecha, take for you. What's the stress? That lecha means, Noach, make sure to only take food that belongs to you. Now, if you know and you believe that the world is being destroyed, so everything that's out there, all of the wheat and all of the produce and whatever is out in those fields, once you get on that boat, it's all going to be destroyed. Not the world is being wiped out. Noah believes it. Tane Amunah, not big Tane Amunah, but also once he gets on that boat, he built the boat, on some level he certainly believed that this flood is going to come. So Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Noah, don't rationalize and think that because the food is going to be destroyed anyway, so I can just take from it. What loss is there to the owner of the field if I take that food and use it to feed the animals? It's all going to be wiped out by Kadosh Baruch Hu anyway. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Batokach lecha." Of course Noah's going to take food. But Hashem says, make sure that the food only belongs to you. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and the Noah's going to say, well, I don't have so much food. So there HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, I'll take care of the rest. Your responsibility is make sure not to take anything that belongs to anybody else. Now take a step back for a second. Why is the flood coming? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroying the world? What chait? Chamas, gezel, stealing. Noach is the tzaddik, right? He's the righteous person. He's being saved from this flood. So he's the one who's not stealing. At the very moment at which Noach is going to be saved from the flood that's coming because of people stealing, Noach is going to steal? It seems unimaginable. What's the Hava mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really so nervous that he has to tell Noah, only take what belongs to you. The whole world is being destroyed because people are stealing. And now, at the very moment that he's being saved from that, he's going to steal? You know, in Talmudic language, we would probably say, Ein lecha mitzvah ha'boha ha'aveira gadol mizeh. At the same time that the mitzvah is happening, the aveira is going to happen, he's being saved from the flood that's coming because the people are stealing, and now Noah is going to steal? Seems unimaginable. What exactly does the Kli Yakar teaching us? If you take a step back for a second, what type of gezel are we talking about? What does Rashi describe as being the chamas he described based on Chazal, right? We weren't talking about armed robbery and grand larceny. Right? People were stealing. He said, pachos mishava pruta. Taking a bean here, a grape there, but when everybody goes into the supermarket or into the marketplace, it takes one grape. And you got thousands of people coming in, suddenly there are no grapes left. But because you take pachos mishava pruta, the din is that ain based in his kakin, al pachos mishava pruta, you can't take somebody to court. The court doesn't sit. Even our beis din, a real beis din, won't sit for something if the value is less than a shava pruta. So there's no recourse. There's no recourse for the bailiff. So ultimately, it can lead to the downfall of society. That's why Hashem wanted to destroy the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu was waiting 10 generations to see, is the world going to prove not going to... Now, we got people stealing one grape. That's it. One bean, I'm done with it. What exactly was so bothersome about this type of gezel? So, I think maybe what Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show what was so terrible about their sin and this type of gezel is because it was so easy for them to rationalize what they were doing. It's not really stealing. It's just one grape. It's just one bean. Is this guy, is there going to have any nafkamina from my perspective? I walk in and I take one. Is there any nafkamina for the owner? So little. What difference does it make? You know, grapes fall on the floor all the time. They fall. Just one. What's the big deal? And that's a deep insight into the human psyche. When we do irrational or foolish things, when we make mistakes, when we do things that are wrong, we tend to rationalize. We don't like the cognitive dissonance that's created inside of us that we believe that we are inherently good people, and I can't do something which is bad because that doesn't sit well with who I am. So we rationalize and say, well, what I'm doing wasn't really so bad, and then I am still a good person. So I took one grape. I wasn't stealing. Stealing would go if I go into this thing and I take the whole cluster of grapes and I stick that into my bag and I walk out of the store. That's stealing. But popping a grape as I'm walking through the store, what's the big deal? That's not stealing. And it's that type of rationalizing that becomes very dangerous. Because when we begin to rationalize things, we can, you know, even come up with a whole philosophy about it, that this is a way which is okay to live. As long as I can justify what I'm doing in my mind, then everything is okay. When people sin, when people do something wrong and they realize that they did something wrong, then there's the possibility of tshuva. There's a possibility of fixing it. But so long as we don't think that what we are doing is wrong, there's no possibility of tshuva. Because tshuva only starts when I realize there's a mistake. If there's no mistake, there's no tshuva. So when Hashem Baruch Hu sees that the world is totally, totally covered of people who are doing these minor things and they're rationalizing that they're not doing anything wrong, at that point he says, it may not be the gravest of sins, but that's an ideology which I don't see how it's going to change. Because if they don't realize that they're doing something wrong, then the potential to fix it isn't there. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that sealed the fate of the generation. That sealed this destruction that needed to happen, because there was no other way that this was going to be, that there was going to be anything that was fixed. So long as people are doing things that are wrong, but they're not rationalizing it and making it to a lifestyle that this is something which is correct, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks and says, okay, what they're doing is bad, but there's a possibility of tshuva. There's a possibility that they'll come back. But if they becomes the ideology that this is something which is okay, then there's no possibility of tshuva anymore. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood the power of the human mind to rationalize what we do. And therefore he says to Noah, yes, you're being saved because you lived amongst these people and you survived and you were not influenced. But you have to realize that rationalizations can come in many forms. And maybe you didn't succumb to being to taking something out of somebody else's produce because it's only a little bit. You stayed away from that. You understood that that was bad. But maybe even you would succumb to the rationalization. Okay, but this is going to be destroyed. It's hefker. Shut v'nahar. It's going to be destroyed anyway. So what's the big deal? Akash was like, no, even that's a rationalization. It's a different kind of rationalization. But you have to be careful about all types of rationalizations. And that's got takach lecha mikol ma'afah. But you're going to, I'll do a miracle. I'll take care. But you don't rationalize. Just stay on the street. Do exactly what you're supposed to do. And don't get into the situation in which you start doing things that are wrong, but justifying it. And I think that's the key. We all make mistakes at some point. And we're going to err, and there are going to be things that we do that are wrong. But the real test of a chacham and somebody who wants to grow is whether I'm willing to admit that I did something wrong. As long as I can admit that I did something wrong, there's the possibility that I can fix it. It may happen again. But as long as I'm still in the, I'm not in the na'asas lo keheter, I'm not at the point where I'm doing things wrong and I'm just rationalizing it, then I'm stuck. Because as long as I justify what I'm doing, there's no chance of fixing it. As long as there's still some guilt because I know that what I'm doing is not correct, then even if I'm not quite there yet, as long as I can recognize and say, okay, I know I made a mistake, then we have the possibility of moving forward. And that perhaps is the message of the Dor HaMabul, and when this message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to Noah. And they were sealed. It's not that that's stealing one grape is so terrible. It's usher, not allowed. Would that have been a reason alone to destroy the generation? Maybe not. But once that becomes a lifestyle, and that's something which they can they accept as being the norm, then they justify it. And that's something where there's no possibility of tshuva anymore. But Hashem Baruch Hu tells Noah, that's what you have to do. You have to make sure to live your life in such a way that we don't justify the mistakes, that we're willing to admit it. As long as we're willing to admit our mistakes and our shortcomings, then the possibility of being able to be misachin, of being able to fix them, still exists. Okay. Possibility, something to think about over the Kriyas HaTorah, this coming Shabbos. Okay, back. Yes.
Yeah, one thing I didn't get, I didn't mean to force it, but one thing I don't understand is, based on what you're saying, though, like, not just for the
hell if it's in general about the parsha, because I've read later, a question on this, I'll have
to I was wondering, like, what did they, you said, like, what, the first thing you said, what the first thing you were saying about it is that, the simple shot of the pasuk is what? That you should take yourself to.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying why you should not command that.
Right. So that's, I think that's what's bothering the Kliyakar. So the Kliyakar says, don't think the focus of the pasuk is the fact that he was told to take food. The pasuk is about takach lecha. Take food that belongs to you. Only take food that belongs to you.
And then you're saying, well, why would you ever steal food? Because then you wouldn't steal, but you might justify that because that wouldn't.
He wouldn't have normally stolen, but in such a situation in which he realizes the world is being destroyed, so it's, they would say, he could easily have a tefker. It's ownerless. Okay, so I'll be ownerless tomorrow, but it's not going to be used. It's going to go in the garbage anyway. It's almost.
The concept of like Rodef, sort of, like future heaven.
Maybe he could have justified it, but then his Barbara tells him no.
Like if someone's going to be killed, he killed him. So if something's going to be destroyed, then he takes it.
I mean, it's not, it's the food, it's not the, yeah.
There's a portion of the parsha, the one sentence portion.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to justify the reason for this parsha being on Torah, like one sentence, what would you say? Is it like this is just like several levels, or is it like, it's not really historical, it's more like a...
I mean, it's the story of the redevelopment of the world, meaning...
Why?
Sure, why is that included, or why did that?
You're asking Bereshit. Why did we start Bereshit? Why did we start,
from the mitzvos?
Yeah.
So I think once we're at the point of giving over the story, again, that question is asked by Rashi. It's not. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know that I would have asked that question if Rashi didn't ask the question. It didn't bother me. I think is about again. What's the value of most of Sefer Bereshit according to what? What Rashi answers. And there's a taz that says, maybe we're on the rebel floor, so maybe we can ask one of the rebel scholars. There's a taz, I believe it's a taz, that says, when I learned that Rashi, when I was very young, I thought Rashi was quoting, Amar Yitzchak was quoting his father. Then I assumed that it was put later on, as I asked the question, Pashto is just quoting a Medrash. It happened to be Rabbi Yitzchak in the Medrash. The Taz says that he couldn't find such a Medrash, and he thinks that Rashi was quoting his father. Yeah. I saw this in passing on Shabbos. I didn't actually look at a Medrash to see if the Medrash exists or not. Mm-hmm. My hunch is that the Medrash exists. That's my hunch. But I don't know as a fact. Oh, so why does he do this? So the Taz I didn't look at it side, I saw it quoted somewhere. The Taz basically says that Rashi didn't even necessarily think that it was the best question. But Rashi wanted to show respect to his father, that when he was starting what's going to be his, magnum opus of this unbelievable parish of Chumash, you start out with a question from your father. You show a card, so keep it up. That required somebody to write a PhD on it. You could figure out in terms of the historical reality and whatever. But if you think about it, because that question only answers the very beginning. That's fundamental. What Sefer Bereishis is about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how we interact, how we create the world, I think frames the world for us. So I assume once you have that whole parsha and you need to get to the Avos, this is an important idea of what happened to the world. And the fact that the world was basically destroyed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu started it anew, is a lesson for us that things sometimes don't go quite right. And even HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan, not because of him, it's not Nachas Hashem as a chisaron in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we needed to try again. We have the reality of the Luchos Rishonos versus Luchos Echoros. I spoke about this once at length. I don't want to get too far off topic, but at last Yom Kippur, I spoke about it. There's this book that was written by Sheryl Sandberg and Adam Grant, Option B. Excellent book. About, again, the short version is Sheryl Sandberg is the COO of Facebook, and her husband, Dave Goldberg, they were on vacation, and he basically... She found him that he had dropped dead in the gym working out. And like 4 years old or something like that. Complete and total shock. And she just writes how she dealt with her grief and how she... The whole premise of the book is that, sometimes we just have to deal with option B. And it might not have been the one that we picked, that we might have wanted option A, but that's not what we're given. And it's what we do with option B, or C, or D, or E, that makes a difference. So I spoke about the context of the Luchos Rishonos versus the Luchos Achronos, right? They're also, the first Luchos were destroyed. Which one remains? Which one's the Luchos? And there's a Medrash that says that before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, he was Bona Olam U'Machriva. He tried a few different times. He created a world and he destroyed them. I think the Rav has a piece on that Medrash, where he says that's this concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was putting into the Teva of this world, that we sometimes have to start again, and hopefully it's not out of tragedy. Sometimes, Rahman al-Islam, it is out of tragedy, but we're left with having to deal with whatever it is that we're given. Yeludan?
Can you say that the people during the time of Noah were
time of Noah?
Well,
is that what you said?
And the people were just doing these minor things, like stealing minor things, like not too
many. Again, there are different midrashim. It sounds like their fate was sealed because of that. It doesn't sound like that was the only thing.
But doesn't it say that, like,
there's a Gemara, where it's in Sanhedrin that says that they were writing subos for. I don't think it means like suba in the sense of the Pythagoras. I think it meant that it became accepted in society. That relationships other than between a man and woman were going to be were sanctioned as appropriate marriages. So I think they did many. What Chazal are telling us is what sealed their fate was this, and that's what I was trying to focus on. Why is so bad about this that it would seal their fate? Yes.
I mean, the thing is, like, this is a minor thing. I mean, people. I mean, people look at it right back then, and they were saying, oh, it's a minor thing, it's obviously a thing wrong in it. But there's plenty of people who are doing that nowadays, even more so are just doing
very fortunate that HaKadosh Baruch, first of all, we don't know how HaKadosh Baruch makes this calculation. Then we're very fortunate that HaKadosh Baruch promised never to destroy the world again. Otherwise, maybe we would have definitely through a flood, but it seems like once Klal Yisrael were mekabel the Torah for sure, it seems like HaKadosh Baruch was not going to destroy the world entirely.
I don't understand very quickly. When the Pasuk says that Hashem sort of reconsidered having created the world, how do you understand that?
So something similar to what, it's similar to this idea about the Rosh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the world in such a way that he wanted that people should sort of have the chance to do it. Did he know what's going to happen? He knows what's going to happen. But the same thing about all of Machshav and Meiz Hadin, and he ended up doing the Rachamim, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, from our perspective, designs the world in such a way that mimics how we would approach it. I'll give you one more thing about the parsha to think about, then we've got to do a little bit of Baba Kama. But you cannot answer it right now. The question to think about is, we know that there were two, when it came to the non-kosher animals, there were two of, put it this way. How many animals of each type went into the teva? Was it one male, one female, two male, two female? And when it comes to the kosher animals, was it seven of each? Or was it seven pairs of each? Don't answer the question, unless you don't understand the question. It says that there were shnayim shnayim bo la teva, right? Two by two they came into the teva when it came to the non-kosher animals. So is that two of each or two pairs of each?
It says non-kosher animals.
It says bema asherinena tahora. Right, that's where we darshu ben lashon ki yavash. It says asherinena tahora. It doesn't say tamayu, that's where we darshu. About Lashon Nekiya, the Torah went out of its way to use extra words in order not to say a bad word. I believe.
That's where people don't say negative things, they say the opposite of good.
That's one of the reasons, yeah.
That's, yeah.
It says.
I think it's just like one pair. But they each.
I said I'm not answering. I'm not answering. So you want to think about it. ומכל החיים מכל בשר שניים מכל תביאו תביאו לחיו סיתוך זכר מכל בו גיביו את וואן בשר מכל בשר ואיך מהאוך ומיניה ומן הבאים ומן הבאים ומן הבאים ואתה כך לכל מכל מאחור שנפל פיים then it says מכל הבהמה הטהורה תיקח לך שבוע שבוע איש ואישתו ומן הבהמה אשר לא טהורה היא שניים איש ואישתו. What's pshat in that pasuk and the next pasuk? It's the per exactly pasuk base. I'm not trying to make much chatter, but I think we have these images of animals coming, either in pairs or two by two. How many animals was it? Was it when we have the alligators coming in? Were there two alligators in the teva? Were there four alligators in the teva? And when you have the cows coming in, were there seven male and seven female, or just seven cows? That's my question.
It's two, right?
In one pasuk, another pasuk, it says
shnayim. Isn't seven an odd number? So if you
only have. I'm not answering it now. Right. We can talk about it on Sunday. Think about it over Shabbos. If you read the pasukim carefully, there are different places that sound different ways. It's not a. It's not one of these obvious questions. Although we might think it's obvious, I'm not saying it doesn't have an answer. But there's one pasuk that says shnayim, there's another pasuk that says shnayim shnayim, and if shnayim shnayim is pairs, this one says shiva shiva, and then we need to figure out. Okay. Yeah. Think about it. Wherever you are for Shabbos, talk about it at the table. I'm sure you'll have lively debates. Okay. Wow. Okay. A little bit of a bukama. I want to get through this piece of Gemara, so we can pick up with the Toldos of Shane next time. Zog the Gemara, Amar Mar, the second Amar Mar. Right? We're about 10 lines or so down. Amar Mar. Ubier Zohashain Khinamakashivara Galatumo. Right? That is a question, that is a quote, I'm sorry, from the Brisa on the bottom of Beis Amud Beis, right? Almost always when the Gemara says Amar Mar, it's going to pull a line out of a Brisa that we previously had and analyze that piece further. So this piece, right, Ubir in the Pasuk refers to Shein because we have a supporting Pasuk in Sefer Melachim. Says the Gemara, Taima, so again, we're going to have basically the same Shaklavatari, the same back and forth that we had on top of the page with when we started with Regel, we're going to do it now with Shane.
The Gemara is not in person.
What?
The Gemara is not in person.
The Gemara is not in person?
Mar is not
a sister. No. Means the master. Means whoever said it.
Whoever.
Yeah. Whoever yeah. Master. Not Rabbi Mar. No problem. Okay. So the Gemara says, Taima. The reason that we know that Ubiya refers to Shane is because of Rachman Agashay Varagala Tumo, is because of the second pasuk. That's what it sounds like, because the Braisa brought a second pasuk. Right? Brought the pasuk in Malacha. Why would the Braisa bring the pasuk in Malacha if we don't need it? So it must be that we need that pasuk in order to be able to say that Ubiya refers to Shane. I lost the place. Sorry. But if not, how would I set it up? Ikaren. If the I would say that, so again, same thing we said yesterday. We only know of three different types of damaging that comes from a shore. We know the pasuk is talking about a shore. So Ikaren, if we're going to say that it's talking about, that Beer is talking about Karen, that doesn't make sense. Because Tziv, we already have a pasuk talking about Karen because we have the key Igah pasuk earlier. He regel tzid. If we're going to say he's talking about regel, that's also already written. Where is that written? The drush was written yesterday with the shiva. So what are we left with? So the only thing that we're left with is shane. So if the only thing that we're left with is shane, then obviously ubiyar means shane. So why do I need the pasuk of ubiyar galala to know in order to tell me that it refers to shane? So says the gemara. No. Sub Itzrek, I need the pasuk in Melachim. Inside. Sub and I got Amina, I would have thought Idi the Idi Arega. Both the Shila and Ubiya are referring to Regel. Had Azam Amela, Had the Shela Shvutai, Kamash Malam.
This is the order, I think this.
Okay. Right? I would have said that the Shilach Ubiyah are referring to two different types of Rego. Similar to what we said beforehand, that I would have thought that refers to two different types of Shane. So I would have said it refers to two different types of Rego. What are these different types of Rego? Not Mechaya Karna and Lo Mechaya Karna. Why not? That was our discussion yesterday. Hayim Shomitim Tanachas. Why does it, what are the two types? One type is regel, when the animal wanders out on its own, and one type is when the owner sends it. The owner sends the animal out. Which one of those two is the smaller chiddush? Meaning more obvious to when you actually send it out, right? The owner. But when the animal wanders out, that's less of a reason that the owner should be chayiv. So Kamash Malan, the pasuk in Nach, that it's talking about Shane. That's talking about Shane. Right? Because that was the question. Why do we need the pasuk in Nach? Because if I didn't have the pasuk in Nach, well, how would I have interpreted it? I would have said it's talking about two different types of regel. Kamash Malan is talking about Shane. If it's true that there are two different types of regel, and now I only have one word of the Shilach referring to Regel. How do I know the other type? Asks the Gemara.
How do you know you're Chayav for it? Why do we always assume you're Chayav for the other type? Maybe you're not Chayav. I don't know. I asked this yesterday. Like you said, beer. Like for the other one, the first one, it was that like you would think that it's low on the.
So you might not be.
Yeah,
you might not be.
Why do we assume that you are?
No, we're not assuming that we are, but we just want to know what's it in. Again, if we just said, it doesn't say that you're definitely chayav, it just hash the, this is the language. Hash the,
no, we'll look at the next thing. Hash the, okay, hashay, regal, the azam, and mela, minala, whatever you know it.
Right.
And we must be also chayav for this.
Oh, and or if the answer is, ain't nothing happening, we don't know it, then you wouldn't be chayav. Or at least you wouldn't be chayav. Maybe this is a rug, like you wouldn't be chayiv under a specific, maybe You would still be fine. I don't know. But what it's saying is that that could have been the answer. I think Misvar, we know that it doesn't make sense.
Sure.
Right. Right. So says the Gemara. Right, so now the Gemara asks, back to Yeshein, once we establish that the Pasuk of Ubiyar talking about Shein, so Rega the Azla Memela Minalan, so how do I know Rega which comes, goes out on its own, which wanders? Dumya the Shein. Similar to the answer we gave yesterday. Again, we have the Hekish between the two. Ma Shein, Loshon, Ashal, Pashluke, Loshon, the Azla Memela. Abregia loshna shalvashlukhe loshna azo memeva. Right? There's no distinction when it comes to Shein, whether it went out on its own or whether it did not go out on its own. So we can carry that over to Regel, and now there's no distinction between Regel and. There's no distinction within Regel whether it wanders out on its own or whether it's sent out.
Good.
Okay? So far so good. Just the simple chakra of Tyre the Gemara.
Why doesn't Rashi do the same thing he did before?
I think because we can intuit that the answer is going to be the same.
Yeah?
I think so. I mean, we answer it differently. The answer is the same answer would probably still hold up.
Rashi, I'm pretty sure.
Right. Good. Okay. Now the Gemara, so that's the end of the piece of the Gemara, which mimics the piece of the Gemara on top. And now the Gemara takes one final stab at this whole situation here. Says the Gemara, So the Gemara throws a monkey wrench in our whole discussion. The Gemara says, why can't we just learn everything, Regel and Shein, from Veshila? What are you talking about? How can we learn both from Veshila? So the Gemara says, because I have a pasuk which applies Veshila to both of them. Where? Mashma regel, it has a mashmos, v'shilach of regel, desi, mashake, regel, shavach, hamor, the pasuk which was quoted in the Braisa. But we never quoted a pasuk in the Braisa to support Shein being learned out from v'shilach. So it says this, says the Gemara now, but I have a different pasuk. U'mash v'shein, desi, v'shein, behemoz ha-shalach bom. In the context of the Shiras Azinu and the different things that will happen at different points, depending whether the Jews are doing good or not, it says that I will send out animals. Vishilach bom. And presumably, what are those animals, doing? That they're attacking with their mouths. So, it says v'shem, right? It says v'shem when it's talking about it. So v'shem behemos. So it says, Ashallah Bam, so let's not Shiva. So that's an interesting question. So again, now the Gemara is saying, different than we were saying before, right? And where we until now has been saying, maybe we should be able to understand each of the words alone as being Rega or Shein. And then we had to say no, because there are two types of each. Now the Gemara is saying, why do I even need a beer at all? I could learn both out from Shein. And if I learned both out from Shein, then L'chora, on the surface, I would know all the cases as well, because we could still connect. And whatever is true by Rego should be true by Shein, and vice versa. So I would know everything. So isn't that a good solution or how do we deal with that? So the Gemara says, like this. Yes.
Are we normally not learning that?
We don't learn out separate things, but if we're just trying to learn out that you're chayiv for the hezek, and this is a translation of the word, then there's a problem.
Also,
we don't learn that through dignity then.
So what would be
the point here? That's the thing.
What would it be? What would it be every time I call us?
I have no idea. Something else.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But again, the Gemara wants to, again, if the Gemara is going to push us that you need, not only do you need both words, but you need additional supporting words, now the Gemara is taking a step back and says, you could learn everything out from the word itself. Then certainly you have the question of why you need the extra words. The extra psukim and not.
Right.
So, again, there has to be an answer to this question, otherwise that price still makes no sense. You're right, what we do the puzzle? I don't know. But again, the Gemara is attacking it, that the Bryce has to make sense. The Bryce is needed to bring not just the puzzle, but the supporting puzzle as well.
Also, would it imply, like, all different types of things?
What do you mean?
Like, it would be Regel, and it would be Shane. It would be Regel not differentiating between, like, if you send the NLL person going out, and also for Shane, like, it would be Lom Chali.
That's the word we're going to get to at the end.
Well,
Gemara's going to get to that at the end. Yeah.
One question.
Yeah.
Before we sorry. How long hafi before Abi Yehuda Arena?
What?
When we say how long hafi?
Yeah.
Is that the positive or not, or is that the why we say that
those words?
Yeah. What is that referring to?
Where are those words?
After Kala Sumo? Before.
At the very beginning.
Yeah. Not the page,
no, I understand that.
Yeah.
That means is this time of the Gazar Rahmana Kasha, the reason that this is the reason that we can only the reason that we know that a beer refers to shame is because of the Gazar Rahmana Kasha Ragalatuma Halakha, had it not had it brought the second pasuk. What I have also right here. So Allah Bakhi means had the Braisa not brought the second pasuk.
Then what? What's the next part?
Then how would I have understood differently
Ubir? Right, not the pasuk. How would I have understood the pasuk? That's not.
We don't care about the psukim or not. For, again, in terms of understanding and beyond what we need here right now. Care in a global sense.
How would I understand what Ubir means?
How would I understand it differently than Shane? Then I need the pasuk enough. Again, I only need the pasuk enough to clarify if there's something which is unclear. If there's nothing which is unclear, then it's a waste of ink for the brice. Again, the pasuk still belongs enough, but why does the brice need to bring it?
Right.
This is a confusing piece. I'm not going to claim that it's not. So, but what's
the challenge? The chalai is really not.
No, you're
just saying this for that context.
It's part of the story.
Yeah,
it's part of the story. You can certainly hear it again. The question is my next now is if I can give you words of the Shilah that mean both Shane and Regel, so then, again, I don't know exactly what I would do with the beer, but it's certainly extra, and then this whole Brisa falls apart. So how come we don't just say that the Shilah refers to both? So the Gemara says, "Ilav pro yisera." If not for the extra word in the pasuk, pro yisera here, a word in the pasuk, meaning ubir, right? That's the word in the pasuk, which would be extra of everything we don't have from Shiva. Hava mina oha oha. O rego dezeko maso shein diishana dezeko. So the Gemara says, Shane and Regel are different. They have different attributes to them. Shane has a chumrah, or unique attribute, that you get that the animal is getting hana when it's doing the damage. Regel has a unique attribute that animals are always wandering and the damage is likely to happen. So I would have said it refers to one of them, but they're too different from each other to say that they're learned out from one word. And therefore, I need the second one. Okay? Yes? The Gemara had to ask, how come we can't learn out both from the Shilach if they are, if we have a pasuk which apply, which has a mashmos, which sounds like both of them could be learned out from Mashiach. They're connected to Mashiach. So the Gemara is because they're different from each other. Each one has a unique aspect to it.
How does that practically play out?
What do you mean? Because shame.
Different, but we still would know there's a prohibition about it. If I have to pay your animal.
No, but maybe I would have said if Bishila was referring to a hezek, which is done when you have Hana'a, then it can't be referring to Revya. It can only be referring to shame. If Bishila is referring to the type of thing which goes out on its, if it goes out commonly, nothing to do with Hana'a, then I wouldn't know shame, which uniquely has to have Hana'a. They're different from each other. That's the word at this point. At this point.
Or maybe you just understand, like, let's say you just equate them by the fact that they're damaging, and you would think that in a certain way, maybe you'd say the regal is the animal enjoys walking on things. I'm saying, like,
so maybe, we could discuss that at a different time, but again, the Gemara earlier established that that's not the case. So the Gemara says that the unique status. Right. We don't know what the animal finds enjoying about walking. That's not the damage, it's not enjoying the damage. Right? By shame, it's enjoying while it's damaging. It's not enjoying the damage of you know, whatever pops up while it's walking or it squats on. It's incidental. It's common, but incidental. But that was, again, the Gemara right now is just taking the givens that we had in number base, the bottom. We already had these details. But again, let's just try to get to the whole flow.
There's some difference. You can't possibly have them both in one thing because they're different.
That's what it says. That's what Gemara is saying at this point. Then the Gemara says, the Gemara says, yes, they are different from each other, but they can be equated that they're both damaging. That they're both damaging, similar to what was bothering you. Meaning we don't know which one it refers to. They're both damaging. So who cares what the unique status of each one is? I don't know which factor is the main factor, therefore I don't know which one to exclude, and therefore I should include both. So the fact that there's a unique characteristic of each is not enough of a reason to say that Bishila can't refer to both, because I don't know which one to exclude, and if I don't know which one to exclude, then I should include both of them. Because neither of them has one characteristic that overrides the other one. They're just different. They're different enough that they should be on the same plane. They should be equal in terms of equally likely the pasuk is referring to them. Therefore, I don't know which one to exclude. If I don't know which one to exclude, they should both be included. They're equal in terms of the meaning. There's no reason. That is what the you pull up the Rashba on your phone. Every take out your courtesy of Ryan. We have the Rashba.
Keep it on airplane mode though.
Yeah, Rada.
Okay.
So right, Mifte Shkulin, you know? He says, Lav Shkulin, they're not equal. It doesn't mean that they're equal, that Regal is now only when there's Hana'a, and Shane is only when it's common. Meaning we're not claiming that the characteristics are equal to each other. Those characteristics are still separate. Shane is still only Hana'a, and Regal is still only when it's Matzah. But in terms of the reason to say that they're chayiv, there's no more reason to say that Shane is chayiv than regular is chayiv. Yet they're different from each other.
That's what I was saying, so damaging. Okay.
Right. They're different from each other, but they're equal in terms of there's no reason to say that one should be Vishilach more than the other one should be Vishilach. One is not more chomer than the other. They're different from each other. But one is not more stringent than the other that we should say that this one's included and this one is excluded. And if we can't say which one, and it could mean both, so it has to mean both of them, because we don't know which one to exclude. We don't know which one to exclude.
Can't you say a lot of stuff in this, and a lot of stuff is equal in terms of included?
But it has to be a mashmos of the word also.
Right.
So you have to find another, you have to find a third pasuk. If you combine a Karen pasuk,
right,
Karen is connected to Mishilach on the Gemara, if you ask that. I'm assuming the fact that the Gemara doesn't ask it, that it doesn't exist.
I'm just wondering.
Right.
Make that claim.
The Rashba, if you just continue with the Rashba asks here, Once we have the Rashba open, the Rashba asks here, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? If they're both equal, but we don't know which one it's talking about, so we say it includes both, yes, why don't we say the opposite? Why don't we say, remember what we said yesterday? We said yesterday when there's a suffix when it comes to taking away money from somebody, so we say leave the money where it is. We don't take away the money. So we should say that it refers to neither. It should be the opposite. You're right, you can't pick one over the other. But if we can't pick one over the other...
Katergam, the gum,
right? Oh. Yeah, sort of.
I don't get that as far. He's saying, because you can't really decide which one it is.
He's saying, right, he's saying you can't decide which one it is, therefore, we should say which one, that we can't include any, not that we can't exclude any. It's
what?
Rosh Hashanah? That's a very strong question.
What does that mean?
Why not the law?
You're causing damage, you have to pay something.
Well, that's not true, right?
Why not?
Because we know there are certain damages that you're put there on.
Okay, if it's completely, did your best.
No, not just that. What's that? What about, if you have Aish goes out and burns something which is hidden, you're puzzled. Look at the way, their tongue. There are unique characteristics. In the end, maybe it's what's bothering you. Maybe it's what's bothering you. What the Rashba answers is, well, you can't say that nothing, that Bishilach doesn't mean anything, because then the pasuk is meaningless. Don't lose track of what we're talking about. We're defining a damage in the pasuk that says Bishilach, the damage happened. So now we're going to say, well, we don't know what Bishilach is, therefore the pasuk means nothing. You can't say that. You could say, as long as it doesn't undermine a pasuk, you could say that if there's a suffix, we're not going to take money away. But if by saying this rule that we're not going to take anything out of a suffix, we're going to end up nullifying a pasuk. We can't nullify a pasuk. And if Bishilach, that might have been part of what was bothering you also.
It implied, yeah.
That Bishilach can't mean nothing. So that's the answer to the Rashba's question.
It can't just mean Bishilach.
But again, look at what did the Pasuk say? Pasuk says, Ki aver ish tazeo dar mishneh tazbi rovet 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 tazbi. But what happened? What's the story?
Regular machine or not?
I'm thinking I want to, you know, the Beis Din needs to explain what this pasuk is referring to. What kind of damage is this pasuk referring to? What's the answer? What kind of damage is this pasuk referring to? If Bishilach does not mean regular and does not mean shame.
Your purpose is in your animal to whatever, to use anything to somebody else's
good. So you're not tired. Well, did it eat the stuff in the other field? Did it trample the stuff in the other field? Because both of those are excluded. Okay. If it gored, that's a different puzzle. So what's included?
Why are we saying it? I didn't even
know.
What?
Why are we saying
it? Well, what is it? You can't say anything if you don't have anything.
Not.
Everything has to be under a category. What do you have that's not...
The Rashba's answer is kind of weird. I don't know. It's like...
I'll give you a marshal to what the Rashba's answer is.
What the Rashba's basically saying is it's a puzzle. Obviously, it has to mean something.
Right. So what Rashba is saying is fascinating. That even though we normally have another rule, that we suffix, we're not going to take the money away, if by applying that rule, we're going to undermine a pasuk, then there's a meta-principle which says you can't apply that rule. It's similar, not exactly the same, but similar, there's a Ran, in Masechta Pesachim, when it comes to the Dalat Tosafos, right? That the Gemara basically has a suffix, which of the Dalat Tosafos you have to do a seifa for. So the Ran says, well, so the Gemara concludes, well, since we don't know, so you have to do a seifa for all of them. So the Ran asks, what are you talking about? Suffix derabbanan lekula. So if we're not sure which one, so you shouldn't have to do a seifa for any of them. So the Ran answers, you can't say that because we know there's a din of a seifa.
Right?
So you can't, even though there's another principle of something that you don't, again, it's not exactly the same as on a Darabana level, but just to sort of maybe, as Rabbi Tversky always said in Shir, the Tzaber is a Ozen, it sort of like just makes it easier to hear this type of thinking, you know what I'm saying? You can't, if you could, sometimes you have halakhic principles. There's a halakhic principle of something that Darabana Kula. If it's down in Darabana, you go lenient. But in the case of Mesedah Stukim, we say we don't know which one you have to lean for, and since it's only Darabanan, so you don't have to lean on any, then you've uprooted the whole concept of leaning. So we can't say that. So even though that's going to mean we don't say something Rabban Makula, that's an overarching principle. So here also. The Rosh Hashanah said, even though we have a rule in general that when we have a doubt when it comes to money, so we won't take money away from somebody because of the doubt, so here we should say, well, we don't know what a Shilah is. Where did that one come from? That's a Gemara Bava Metzia, Amotzi Mechaver Olav Harai. It's either a Svara or a Nebuchadnezzar. If you want to take something away from somebody, you have to prove it. It's the concept of being a Mukhsak. We assume that whatever a person is holding onto belongs to him until proven otherwise. Why? Probably because it's the easiest interpretation of the fact. If I'm walking around talking on this phone, the easiest explanation of the situation is that the phone belongs to me. If you want to come along and say, I know you're talking on the phone, I know you're carrying it in your pocket, but it's mine, so you have to prove that. I'm the one that's holding on to it, and the simple understanding of the facts is that it belongs to me. So if you want to get money out of my bank account, you have to prove that you are the one who's correct. So if we have a doubt what the pasuk means, how are you going to be able to prove when my animal eats your fruits in your field, you say I have to pay, I'm going to say, how do you know that? You're going to say, well, it says Vashilah. I'll say, no. Vashilah refers to when the animal is walking. It's referring to regular, it's not referring to shame. And you can't prove it. So in that case, because the pasuk would end up meaning nothing, the Rashba says, that's why our Gemara is correct. That's why our Gemara says that if we're not sure, both are actually included, and we have to push aside for a moment the general rule of Mamon, Motzi Mechaber. By the way, if Safek by Mamon, we wouldn't move the money. Okay? His original question was, again, our Gemara seems to say that Vashilach could refer to either. It doesn't say that it refers to both. It could refer to either. Since we don't know which one it refers to, we'll assume that it refers to both. The Rosh Hashanah says, wouldn't logic tell me the opposite? If I don't know which one it refers to, then we exclude both until you can prove that one should be included. Why are we trying to say that you have to prove which one is excluded? It should be the opposite. Because usually by money you have to prove that something is included, that it's going to be taken away. So the Rosh Hashanah says, here we would not say that because by saying that, at the end the pasuk would be meaningless. Okay? Oh, so that's what we're holding. Yeah?
I think it would, can you translate the Shekulim, Shekulim, and Yerushalayim?
Mifdei. Shkulinim, since that they are equal, again, which Rosh Hashanah said means they're equally likely to be included, they're on the same level, not one is not more logical to include the other. Yavo Shneim, both should be included, Dehemi Nayimakas, because which one could you exclude? So this question still stands right now, of why we say that Mashiach does not refer to both of them. So the Gemara says, it's true. I still need what? Good, ubiyah. I still need the second word. Excellent. Why? The salka daikav amino hani mili hechi d'shalav shluchem avol az lo memeilo lo kamash malon. Because if I only had b'shilach, there would still be a din that's missing. The din that's missing is going to be that I would only interpret it as being if it wanders out on its own. But if it is sent out, I would not know that halacha. That's why I need That's why I knew
it.
What?
That I know when I'm asking if I don't know the Rabbi itself.
Oh, sorry, that was it. Correct. Right. I only know. I only know that if it's being sent out. How? But I wouldn't. Otherwise, you have to correct. Right. I would only know that if it's. I would only know if it's sent out. I would not know if it's Aslam Mela, if it wanders out. Kamashon. That's why I need both. Okay. One last point here. Pay close attention. You guys can get this. Let's look at the Rashi Kamash Malon. What is the Kamash Malon?
Let's talk about our outside quickly again. I'm still
yeah. The first. The Gemara asks. I have a pasuk that says that I have a pasuk that connects Vashila both to Regel and to Shein. So why do I need to be here at all? And get rid of everything that the Bryce was talking about. Really, it should refer to both of them because I don't know which one is. It should refer to both of them. So the Gemara says, "Well, they're different. Because regel is Hazeka Matsoi, Shane is Yesh Hanav. So since they're different, I need a different pasuk. The Gemara says no. Because they're different, but there's not a logical reason to include one over the other. Therefore, I should include both. So we still have a kasha, why can't I learn them both out from Mishila? So the Gemara says, really, I could learn everything out from Mishila, except for one thing.
When it's not by force.
Yeah. I would not know from Mishila that you'd be chayiv when it wanders out on its own. Therefore, I need Ubir. What is the Kamash Malon of this Gemara? What is the Kamash Malon of this Gemara? In the end of the day, if I ask you, in the middle of the night, I wake you up and I ask you, what is the makor for Shane and what is the makor for Regel in the Torah? What is the answer to that question? What is the answer to that question? Right? You understand what I'm asking? The Gemara just said, because the Gemara just said, let's make sure it's clear. The Gemara just said that both can be learned out from Mishilach, and the only reason that we don't learn it out from Mishilach, we don't have a camper now, is when it's going out on its, is when it wanders out on its own. But it sounds like from Mishilach, I could learn both Shin and Regel, just not this aspect of it. So when the Gemara at the end says Kamash Malon, what does the Gemara mean? So look at Rashi carefully, I know we're out of time, we've got to see this quickly. Kamash Malon Ubir. So Ubir comes along. The Kavan did not belong Shane de Mimela may Ubir. And once we learn out Shane, which wanders out from Ubir, as your Regel de Yalkomine. Then Regel comes along and is learned out from it. So, again, we have two possibilities, let me do this clear. We have two possibilities on the Kamash Malon here, right? Now that we have Ubir in the end, we have two possibilities. Either we learn both Shane and Regel from Mishilach, and Ubir just teaches us that both of them are chayiv even when it wanders, right? That's one possibility. The second possibility is once we have both words anyway, so then we go back to what we thought from the beginning. That Mishilach refers to Regel, and Ubir refers to Shane. Which one is true in the end? That's what I'm curious about. What do you guys, in Rashi, do you see anything? Do you see anything in Rashi that tells you one way or the other? Read the Rashi very carefully, and I know we're...
Ubir.
What?
Ubir. It's saying that you really...
Which of the two options? Option number one is that the source for Shane and Regel is both from Mishilach, and all I need Ubir for is to teach me that both of the cases are going to be chayiv when it wanders out. That's option one. Option two is that we revert back to what we thought the whole week, that Shane is from Ubir and Regel is from Mishilach. What?
What does
Mishilach
mean again?
What?
And therefore,
so which of the two options do you see?
That's how we learn out.
Which of the two options? What is the. In the end of the Gemara, is Beer the source for all Shane? Or is Beer the source for Shane and Regel both being Chayim even when it's Mimigilah?
First one.
Why don't we.
The first out of
what?
I learned.
You don't see the difference?
A little bit.
Sounds like it teaches you Shane and it teaches.
Yeah. No, you do need both hands. What's the difference? I don't know if there's a nafkamina. I don't know if there's a technical nafkamina, but the nafkamina is pshat of the Gemara. Which one of the two is it? So if you look, what?
Both Shane and both Regel from Shema.
Yeah. So you think this Rashi's telling us? Okay, so we'll start out with fighting about this maybe on... Fine, I'll tell you quickly. This is what I think the pshat is. If you look carefully at Rashi, what did Rashi say? Rashi said, what was the lashon of Rashi? B'kevan d'nafkelon shein d'memela me'ubir asir regel d'yachamein. Rashi says that we learn out shein when it wanders from ubir, and therefore we learn out regel. It sounds like Rashi is saying that we learn out all of shein from ubir, just like we thought originally, and we learn out Regel from Mishilach. How do I see that? Because if we learned out both of them when it's Memela from Ubir, than what Rashi said is inaccurate. The way Rashi describes what's happening, right, is we learn how shame the Mimela from a beer. Once we know shame the Mimela, now we can extend it to regal the Mimela. But if they're both beer is the source for both of them, when it is Mimela, it doesn't have to go in that direction. So it sounds like once the Kamash Malan comes along, that Rashi understands that we go back to what we thought at the beginning of the Gemara. We learn out Shane from Ubir. We learn out Regel from Mishila. How do we know Regel to Memela? We know that from Shane. By Shane, there's no distinction that we learn out from Ubir. Another beer, you extend that over. If you have time over the weekend, you can look at a Tosfos Itzderif. I think he disagrees. Okay, go ahead, and I'll see you on.